May I have your attention, please? Sabat Shalom, everyone. I'm Son of Yeshua Abel, Yeshua Hawkins. I'd like to serve you forever as a priest dying very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for sub-services.
Sabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Israel Abel Shamil Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yeshua Abel now entering the sanctuary. I would now like to turn it over to the queens of the house of Yahweh.
The feast of weeks is a special day. At this time, we will turn the services over to the great son of Israel Abel, Deacon Yaakov Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, I'd like to speak on the title of unity. Now, starting off from the Yisrael Says program, the third book of Yisrael, chapter 2, verse 7, it says, I hope you all want to be at Pentecost. Everyone needs to come into unity. You don't need to leave the house of Yahweh, brethren. Brethren, we're getting close to the time that we are going to make connection with Yahweh. We are going to receive our offices in Yahweh Shema. The only place on earth where you can receive that office is in the house of Yahweh. We're at it. Praise Yahweh. Alright, so we see here that we need to come into unity at Pentecost. Now, please turn to Psalms 133. That's found on page 489. Psalms 133, verse 1. It says, Behold, how right and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity, to be one with Yahweh, a unit alike, with the same mind and thoughts, all in one accord. We see there, it says how right and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. All right, that's brothers in the house of Yahweh. Right now, we are supposed to be dwelling in unity. Now let's also go to Ephesians. Ephesians 4, that's found on page 918. Ephesians 4, verse 13. It says, Until we all come to the same unity of the faith and the same knowledge the Son of Yahweh has, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness, perfection of Messiah. So we have to be in unity also with Yahshua Messiah. Now, we've been taught previously a little about unity in the Why the Holy Garments book. Why the Holy Garments book by our overseer Yisrael Hawkins. On page 13, it says the remembrance of Yahweh. It says when a man of Yahweh wears a tallit, it brings to remembrance Yahweh's holy spiritual laws. Each time a man puts on the holy sacred name of Yahweh, covering and wrapping himself in the name of the Heavenly Father, it says, how does a man do this? Now, this is talking about wearing our holy garments, putting on the kippah, and wrapping ourselves in the tallit. It talks about how the word fringe means twisted. That's in Deuteronomy 22:12. And it says, the twist of the threads on the tzitzit remind us of Yahweh's name, Yahweh's laws, and Yahweh's unity. Now, it says, the word tzitzit has the numerical equivalent of 600. With the 8 threads and 5 knots on the tzitzit, this equals the number of 613, the number of Yahweh's commandments. Also, with the 5 knots and 8 threads, this adds to the number 13. 13 is equivalent to the Hebrew word akad, or aleph, chet, Dalet, which means one or unity. So to look at a tzitzit is to remember and know Yahweh is a unity. Now, this was what we were taught in the Holy Garments book. The number 13 means unity. Now, also, in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, the word unity is number 3162. This is from Psalms 133, verse 1. It's number 3162. And it's from 3161, and it means a unit. Now, you see, yakad, it means a unit. Unitedly, together, all together, alike. Likewise, then it also says here, yakad means together, alike, all at once, all together. It's used as an adverb, the word emphasis, a plurality in unity. Now also, it says in Deuteronomy 33:5, the first biblical occurrence, the word is used emphatically, meaning all together, all of them together. All right, now it comes, more on that one number. It says, in such context, yakad emphasizes the totality of a given group. And this is talking about the house of Yahweh. We're all supposed to be in unity at the house of Yahweh. It says, it speaks of community, all together, all alike. Now, it also comes from 3161, which you see it's yakad, and it means to be or become one, to join, unite. It also means to be united or to meet. Now, where are we supposed to meet? All right, we're all trying to be in unity, but where are we supposed to meet? If you turn to Deuteronomy 12, that's found on page 157. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 5, it says, "But you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh." Now, to seek, it's by study. And it says, "The house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose out of all your tribes to establish his name, and there you must go." So there you see there, you meet at the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh. Now that word habitation is word number 7933 in the Strong's Hebrew. And you see there, it's from 7931, and it means a residence or habitation. All right. Then here you have 7931. And it means to reside or permanently stay, to dwell, to abide, a place, remain, inhabit. It also means to rest, to set a dwelling. It says it also means to dwell, inhabit, settle down, abide, and to dwell. All right, and if you remember, those who dwell at the house of Yahweh will be protected. Now, this is to dwell on it with your mind too. You have to dwell on the words that are brought out by Yishel Hawkins. Now, this is with your mind too. If you turn to on page 470, Psalms 91, verse 1, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now, this isn't like a shadow, like from light. It's the cover, the protection. That's the protection of Yahweh. Now, this is only if we keep his laws, if we dwell on these things. Now, if you remember in my previous sermon, the Gematria for Yeshua's memorial, remember the 1023, and in Hebrew, it meant far. It went to 4801, Strong's Hebrew 4801, which meant a distant place, distance, last or remote place. Now remember where we went over, people will be coming from afar, coming from the corners of the earth, coming here. Then we also have to dwell in. All right? And remember, we're dwelling in the house of Yahweh. Now, if someone is told to do something, to do a certain job, and they don't do that job, then the next person that comes in, they're put behind. The person who comes in later, they're put behind because the first person didn't do his job. Now, this is not unity. If you turn to Matithia 6:33, found on page 733, Matithia 6:33, it says, "But seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Now that word seek, it means to look for, to look. All right? Now, this is to seek the kingdom of Yahweh. But the kingdom, the laws of the kingdom of Yahweh were taught at Abel. All right? Here at Abel, and also at the by Abel. Now, to seek the kingdom of Yahweh. Now we have to obey the high priest Yahshua Messiah. Now the house of Yahweh is the only one that teaches righteousness. In the 13th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 21, verse 89 or verse 69, it says, I have set before you life by righteousness. Of course, the righteousness is coming to unity with Yahweh by keeping his laws. He doesn't hide what he believes. He puts it out in writing for you. He says, this is it. This will work. This will bring peace. It'll stop war. It'll stop sickness and disease. Well, any fool could see that. All right? Unity will stop war. It'll stop sickness and disease. Praise Yahweh. Now, if you turn to 1 Yochanan 3:4, 1 Yochanan 3:4, that's 1 Yochanan 3 verse 4, found on page 965. It says, "Whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Now, let's skip to verse 7. It says, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." Now, don't let the Pope deceive you. But this is the New Testament, and this is what the worldly preachers claim that they follow. But if you turn to 1 Yochanan 2, if you look over the page, 1 Yochanan 2, verse 4, it says, "He who says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his law is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Now, these worldly preachers are liars. They claim they follow the New Testament, but they don't. They don't follow righteousness. Now let's go back to Yochanan and look at verse 8. It says, "He who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil had sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Yahweh was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Now we see here it sets them apart. Those who practice righteousness belong to Yahweh. Those who practice sin, they are of the devil. We see there it sets them apart. And if we keep the laws, if we practice righteousness, this is what brings unity. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 12, back to Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12, and let's look at verse 1. It says, "These are the statutes and judgments, the law, which you must observe and do in the land which Yahweh, the Heavenly Father of your fathers, is giving you to possess all the days that you live upon the earth. Now these are the laws that we must follow. We must follow these laws in order to have unity. All right, now let's look at verse 5. Remember, you are commanded to keep it. Now in verse 5 it says, "But you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose out of all your tribes to establish his name, and there you must go." Now, remember, you shall seek it. Remember that from Matithia. So there's two witnesses. It's telling us to seek the house of Yahweh. All right, seek the laws that are taught, the laws of the kingdom that are taught by the house of Yahweh. Now let's also turn to Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17, and let's look at verse 9. It says, "Go to the priest, who are Levites, and to the judge who is in office at that time. Ask for their decision, and they will give you the sentence of judgment. You must act according to the sentence they pronounce for you at the place Yahweh chooses. Be careful to do all they order you to do. According to the law they teach you, you shall do, and according to the decisions they give you, you shall do. You must not turn aside to the right hand nor to the left from the sentence they pronounce for you at Abel." All right, so you shall seek it, then you have to go to the priest. And the priests are in unity. All right, if Yahweh knows they're in unity, if they weren't, the scripture wouldn't say to go to them. All right, and if they're not, they would be exposed. All right, the priests are in unity. So if you do what the priests tell you to do at the house of Yahweh, this will bring unity at the house of Yahweh. Now that's all the time I have. So if y'all please stand. I'll turn it over to the great Khan, Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Are you rejoicing today? Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my sermon today is called Behold. Behold. Hey, by the way, are y'all having a great palindrome week? You having a great palindrome week? Do you remember the last palindrome week we had? Well, this week, for those that are just tuning in, a palindrome week this week is June 10 to June 19th. And, you know, these palindrome weeks only occur 9 times in a whole century. Okay? We're in the 6th one now. The last one we had, if you remember, was May 12th. The week of May 12th when Pastor had his Yahweh is in full control dream. I know everybody remembers that. I want to remind you of a few things before we, as we get started. And remember, have your pens and pencils ready, okay? 5:12 last year, when Pastor had his Yahweh's in full control dream, was the word Elkishite. And it was shown what that word means. And it means, "My bow is of the Mighty One. My bow is of Yahweh." Okay, you can just write Yahweh there where it says that three-letter word there. Here's from the, let me pull this out a little bit. Here's another proof here from the topical, from Bible Hub. It shows Elkosh means my mighty one is my bow or my strength. Now, what bow would he be talking about? Well, the great deacon got up here yesterday and told us who Yahweh's bow is, right? And Yahweh's showing us, you know, through these teachings in the clouds and in the signs that he's showing us and the numbers, these patterns that he's bringing forth, who he is working with and who his bow is in these last days. And as was brought out yesterday, you know, everything in Genesis is speaking, it's looking toward this work today. All of you sitting here and all of you tuned in that are regarding this work on this day and that are regarding the administration of Yahweh in this day. And that bow, and now let me give you a little rundown on this. On 6/3/16, when me and the great deacon were out there taking pictures, I'm going to tell you, in the morning, I called Pastor, and I said, Pastor, today is 6/3/16. And I said, it's amazing, we need to be on the lookout because it means this. Sixteen in Strong's means a bow. A bow. So we knew Yahweh was going to come through. And he did, in a big way. There was a big light show out there. I got a call. We were getting ready to do confessions, and Pastor was on the phone. He said, get out there now. He was standing looking out the south, toward the south, and he saw it first and told me to get out there and get some pictures. Okay? So he was watching, like he said, I'll be watching. Okay? And sure enough, Yahweh's seventh Moloch spotted these things. Now, I want to read Genesis 9:13. You don't need to turn there. I'm just going to show you what it says in the King James Version of this. It says, I do set my bow in the cloud. And of course, it does mean rainbow, but that's how it's stated in Genesis 9:13 in the King James Version. And I don't think any of us should have any doubt by now who this bow is. But I'll give you a one hint here. He who opposes Babylon. And I want you to notice, it's word 22:16 in the Hebrew, and it's 6:12 backwards. But it's double. Remember, this is the year of reverse, right? Keep that in your mind. But not only is it that in the Hebrew, it's the same in the Greek. I've never seen any two numbers match in the Hebrew and the Greek. And all my studying. And look at that. 6:12 backwards, Zerubbabel, he who opposes Babylon, or 2:16. By the way, 2:16, take out the zero. It's 2:16. And on 2:16, I think you all remember something that took place over the sanctuary, another palindrome week, where we saw this face. On February 16th, 2012. This one right here. Okay? Now, let's see where I want to go. Okay. That cloud that we saw, by the way, that, let's see, this was the night that we were out there taking the pictures was 6/3/13, but the week before there was another light show on the Sabbath. It was on 5/28/16, and I'll show you the first picture just to kind of show you what we were seeing. As you can tell here, you can see this double rainbow. Okay, it was in the east sky going from north to south, a double rainbow. Now, I'll talk more about that as we go along here. But before we get into that, let me show you. Today is June 12th, right? 6/12. Were we not looking forward to this day? 6/12. You think Yahweh got something in store for us? Oh, you better believe it. Do you believe it? Yahweh is going to pour out His Spirit upon us this day. Are you in unity? All right. June 12th in Gematria. I want you to notice here, June 12th, 2016, this word right here, 2400. Turn over to Zechariah 6:12, if you would. Zechariah 6:12. That should be easy to remember. Pastor talked about it yesterday. And we'll start in verse 11, because yesterday was the 11th. Remember this feast, the 11th and the 12th. Isn't that interesting? 6:11 and 6:12. It says, take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them on the head of Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, the high priest. Okay, that Yazadok, remember, means Yahweh. Verse 12, speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold the man whose name is the branch. Behold the man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place, and he will build the house of Yahweh. Yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory and will sit and rule on his throne. He will be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace will be between them both, between him and Yahshua Messiah, the high priest, the great high priest over this house. Now, again, 2400 in Gematria. Let me show you. It's this word here. Behold. Now, that word behold, it doesn't just mean behold. It means look. It means perceive with the understanding, with the eyes of your understanding. Not just to look upon him and see him, but to understand. And it's from this word here, the Greek word E-I-D-O. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's 1492. And remember, we went over this word before, this word number. Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492, and he discovered the new world, remember? So it's all about discovery and perception and seeing and understanding. It means to be aware, to behold, consider, perceive. It means seeing that becomes knowing, then is a gateway to grasp spiritual truth from a physical plane. Then is the physical seeing, the sight, which should be the constant bridge to mental and spiritual seeing. Now let me give you another definition that they have here. It also means, Hebraistically, in the Hebrew thought, it means to have regard for one. To have regard for one, to cherish, to pay attention to. Pay attention to. Now y'all told me you were having a great palindrome week, did you not? Okay, well, in celebration of that, we're going to go back. We're going to take a little journey back to this book here. It is the 11th book of Israel. It's the end of the ages. And it's a sermon he gave on the first palindrome of this century, 1:15:11. And I'm going to encourage you to go back and read this. The title of it, it's called "The work of Yahweh is being done through Yahshua Messiah." The word "work" is always singular. Here's the date, 1:15:11, a palindrome. On page 38, I want to show you the two scriptures that he worked off in this sermon. He worked off Isaiah 5:12 and Zechariah 6:11-12. Those are the only two scriptures he worked off in that whole sermon. You think that's a coincidence? On the first palindrome of the century, pastor was talking about 5:12 and 6:12. And Isaiah 5:12, why don't we all turn there real quick? Isaiah 5:12, let's read it together. Isaiah 5:12, it says, "The harp and the lyre..." I'm going to start in verse 7, okay, so you can get a sense of what's being said. "Because the vineyard of Yahweh of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Yada are his pleasant planting, he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. Woe to those who join house to house, laying field to field, till there is no place for others, and you alone dwell in the midst of the earth." Remember what pastor, remember he said about the farmer, that, you know, the greedy farmer that only wanted the next door neighbor's house? Do you think that he was just making that up? He says it right here. These that want to gain the whole world, want to get all the riches in the world until no one's left but them, all the Catholics, you think they'll have peace? Absolutely not. Look at verse 12. "The harp and the lyre, the tambourine and the flute and wine are in their feasts, but they do not regard the work of Yahweh, nor consider or understand the operation of his hands." They're not regarding, they're not beholding this work. They're not understanding, what is the Sabbath for? Well, pastor says here in this chapter, he says, they have all these things at their feast, but they don't regard the work of Yahweh. What is it speaking of? The Father works and I work. What is he talking about? He's talking about the Sabbath day. It's so hard to get people to keep the Sabbath the way Yahshua keeps the Sabbath. They want to lollygag around, drink wine, beer, smoke marijuana, I guess, or whatever. But they don't want to work. They forget about Yahweh's work. The way you make the Sabbath a blessing to others is you serve as Yahshua. Yes, he set the perfect example. He was the perfect example of Yahweh. That was Yahshua. Verse 93, they don't regard, they forget the work of Yahweh, nor do they consider or understand the operation of his hands. They have all of this other, but they just forget the work. Okay? And on the following page here, where he talks about Zechariah 6, 11 and 12, he talks about the branch. Use the branch to build the house of Yahweh in these last days. This is verse 101. He'll branch out and build the house. Now listen to what he says in verse 102. This is all the works that are prophesied starting in Genesis and coming forward. Everything written in Genesis coming forward is about this work right here that we are sitting in today, house of Yahweh. Do you understand and perceive that? Do you perceive that the only one on the face of the earth that has been teaching us how to keep this Sabbath is Yisrael Hawkins, the great overseer of Yahweh's house? And he follows Yahshua's perfect example. That's where he got it. He looks to Yahshua. Look into Yahshua. That's what he does. Okay. On 528, I told you we saw another light show out there. This is a week before 663. I want to just kind of show you a few pictures and get a sense. This is down by the south gate. The south gate of the house of Yahweh. The great deacon showed you yesterday. Here's what that looked like. These are totally untouched, okay? Very beautiful, and that band was actually very, very wide, okay? Now, if you'll notice, at the gate, it forms a gate, okay? Right over the gate of the house of Yahweh. Very obvious gate. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to find my papers. Okay, I'm going to play a video for you, and I want you to just watch the transition that you'll see. But you will see Pastor in his rainbow sash. By the way, turn over to Genesis 6:8 real quick. Genesis 6:8. Do y'all remember the first time Pastor was seen in a rainbow sash? It was on 6:8. 6:8:14. Okay, so let's read Genesis 6:8 and see what it says. Page 5, but Yisrael Hawkins found regard and honor in the eyes of Yahweh. Yisrael Hawkins found regard and honor. Well, how did he do that? Did Yahweh just look at him and go, man, I like the way he looks. I like his beard. Man, it's perfect. No. He loved and cherished Yahweh's Sabbath. He regarded the work of the laws of Yahweh, the only preacher of righteousness, just as Noah in his day. He's the only one that's preaching righteousness on the face of this earth right now, just as in the days of Noah. Okay, verse 6:8, but Noah found regard and honor in the eyes of Yahweh. Can we play the video? Okay, just kind of watch that windmill there. The windmill, just keep your eyes there. Can you see him appearing right now? Okay, who is that? I didn't hear anybody. Yes, it's Pastor Yisrael Hawkins. Now, what's really amazing about that is on 6:8:14, the sash was going the opposite direction. Because remember, we used to wear it like this. Okay, now this time, notice how it is this time. It's actually on the way we're wearing it today, if you were facing this way. And you know, that picture, Pastor talked a few weeks ago about that picture. The original one actually got lost a couple times. But you know what? Yahweh put it up there again. At 7:39 on 5:28... he was seen at 7:39. Can I read you this definition? Y'all listening? But keep watching. You're also going to see a dragon coming trying to eat him over there. You'll see that dragon right to the right of him, and it'll start appearing. But you can watch, but listen to this definition of 739. It's the word Ariel in the Greek or Hebrew, and it means lion of Yahweh, or lion like men, like a lion, like a roaring lion. It's from 738, and it means lion or lions. And it's from the Hebrew Arah, A-R-A-H, which means, it's Hebrew word 717, and means gathered. Gathered. Huh? Gathered? 717? By the way, that'll be the next palindrome week. 717-17, right? That'll be the next one. Next year. Now, get this. Greek 739. It's the word, I can't pronounce Greek very well. I flunked Greek in high school. It means fitted, complete, perfect. And doesn't that sash just look perfect on him? But it's not just the sash, it's the colors, it's the character of this man. Okay? He is perfect. And you know, the only scripture this is used in is 2 Timothy 3:17. Why don't we turn there real quick? 2 Timothy 3:17, or 2 Timaiah 3:17, for those of you that have a book of Yahweh. 3:17. It means, well, let's start in verse 16. Because you know what? I want you to also notice this right here, this timeline. Y'all got your copy yet? The June issue? The timeline? Did you know since Yahshua went to be seated at the right hand of Yahweh, it's been 1,983 years? 1983? Y'all calculating? Okay, get your calculators out. Remember, the house of Yahweh was established 33 years ago in 1983, right? This is 2016. 739. Oh, 2 Timothy. It says, all scripture that is given through inspiration of Yahweh is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Yahweh may become perfect. Perfect unity, like the great son of Israel, Abel Jacob, just got done telling us. Perfect in unity, that the man of Yahweh may become perfect, thoroughly furnished for every righteous work. That's the only place this 739 is used. Turn to Isaiah 42, please. Isaiah 42, because it was the 42nd day of the Omar. It was dawning upon the 42nd day of the Omar when we saw this. And I'd remembered Isaiah 42:16 because on 4/2/16, on a Sabbath day this past April 2nd, 4/2/16, I ran into this and I thought it was very interesting. Isaiah 42:1 says, behold, my servant whom I appoint, or I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth judgment to the nations. Verse 10, sing to Yahweh a new song. For your notes, write down Psalm 144, Psalm 144, and also Revelation 14, but it's Psalm 144 and verse 9. We will sing to Yahweh a new song. Remember the song of Moshe and the Lamb spoken of in Revelation 14? Keep those things in your mind. Verse 9 or 11, let the wilderness and the cities lift up their voices, the villages. Let the people of the rock, the ones that are treading out the grapes, the ones that are treading out this the grapes of wrath. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to Yahweh and declare his praise in the islands. Verse 13, Yahweh will go forth like a mighty man. He will stir up zeal like a man of war. He will cry out, yes, roar. He will prevail against his enemies. I have held, listen to what Yahweh's telling you, because this is, he's telling us this today. I have held my peace for a long time. I have been still and restrained myself, but now I will cry like a woman in labor. One of the meanings on that gematria of 612, June 12th, is cry, roar. Look it up for yourself. I will cry like a woman in labor. I will destroy and devour at once. Verse 16, I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. They won't go down Route 66. They're at the end. They're going to go turned around. Notice right here. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. They will be turned back. They're going to be turned back. Is this not the year of turning back? That's right. They're gonna do this. That word way there, the new way, they're going to tread a way. Tread away. Remember Treadaway Boulevard in Abilene? Yeah, they're going to tread a new way, a new path. Yahweh's going to turn them around. Now, yesterday, on 6/11, you ready for this? Last year, in the Kentucky Derby, or the three races, you had American Pharoah took the Triple Crown, right? Remember that? Well, there's a new horse in town. Nyquist, this year, won the Kentucky Derby, and he beat Exaggerator. Well, we know who the Exaggerator is, but who would Nyquist be? Well, let me show you the meaning of the name Nyquist. Nyquist. See, I didn't underline it here, but let me find it. Very important. Right here. The very top. It's a Swedish name. The name Nyquist means new branch. New branch. There's a new there's a new man in town. Now, notice this. Yesterday on 6/11, remember the three races, the main races? Yesterday was the Belmont Stakes. And look who won. The Creator. The Creator wins. And notice who he beat. First of all, he's wearing this number that the great deacon just got done telling you about. Remember, Yahweh is a unity. The number 13, Creator. Yahweh is a unity. The Creator won, and guess who he beat? He sure did. He beat destiny, remember? In Isaiah 65:11, if you don't remember here, and notice he beat him by a nose. Remember that Hawkins nose? But notice this. For my closing scripture, Isaiah 65:11 says, "But as for you who forsake Yahweh and forget my holy mountain, who spread a table for fortune and fill bowls of mixed wine for destiny." Yes, the Creator wins! The Creator wins! This year, Yahweh wins! But we already knew that, didn't we? Remember, they're dropping all their crowns. The gods are dropping all their crowns. The Triple Crown now belongs to us. The great house of Yahweh. And with that, I'd like to turn it over now. It's been a blessing to speak to you. I'd like to turn it over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Y'all may be seated. Well, last night, as everyone was gathered here at Yahweh's house, and of course appearing before Yahweh for his great feast, other events in this world taking place, and I'm just going to briefly read about it, was what's being called as the largest mass shooting in United States history. And that took place in Orlando, Florida last night, where a gentleman walked into what they're reporting as a gay bar and shot 50 people and injured 53 more. Now, keep this in mind, because they're already, as of 10:30, they're already calling this a suspected terrorist, Islamic terrorist attack. So keep in mind, remember where that way of life comes from, and We don't condone the taking of anyone's life, nor does Yahweh, but these people were dying way before that man walked into that bar to take their life. And then continuing on, our education system, everything is breaking down in the world around us. And now we see actually footage coming forth, news agencies reporting. We've been seeing how teachers are having inappropriate relationships with students. Now teachers are literally getting into fist fights with students. Literally going down the hallway, slinging fists and fighting away. Now that's a real education, isn't it? Makes you wonder what they're going to do once they come out of school. And then all of our people should know this. No one here goes to public pools. No one here does anything like that, I'm sure. Right? Praise Yahweh. They're reporting now that, of course, the fecal matter level in pools, and if you don't know what that is, ask the person beside of you, the level in the pools are higher than ever before. And, of course, to do this study, watch the guy that does the study for the news channel. He actually goes and plays in the pool to do it. So that, you know, it doesn't make sense in itself. And of course, as that water is polluted, it's disgusting. It's literally bathing water for who knows how many hundreds of people. You have Lake Mead, of course, drying up. You're talking about floods, but where we're having floods in one area, there's still severe droughts. We have not gotten out of the droughts. Pastors brought this. There's many, many news articles behind it. Everyone's talking about floods, but we're still in severe droughts. And also E. coli. They now have a E. coli bacteria that is now resistant to all man-made these antibiotics they have to offer you. So all of these things, when you run to these physicians, of course, they offer you these antibiotics. Well, they've outdone themselves. Now they can't kill their own creation. Their gods newly come up is taking control. And of course, they're the creator of those gods. Now, if you don't want to run to the doctor, of course, in India, there is a Jesus that is mysteriously leaking water. And people are coming from miles around to wipe this water on them and to drink this water. Now, a man wanted to expose what this was, and when he exposed it, they found out that the toilet had been stopped up and it was sewer water leaking through the concrete of this statue. So, keep that in mind the next time you go to touch Jesus. Just think about that. Yeah. Now, this man that exposed this, they're trying to put him in prison for exposing it. So remember that also. And then remember what Pastor showed about the refugees. Take these things and watch this. Keep in mind, with all of the wealth and assets that our world has today, there are 7,000 refugees that have died just in the last few months. They're saying 10,000 this year. They're showing 700 at a time capsizing in the middle of the ocean. They're dying. You know, they're throwing these life rafts out to them. But keep in mind, how hard would it be to take one of these warships and load some people up and take them to a place of safety? It wouldn't be that hard. And if no one wants them, bring them here. We'll take them. Praise Yahweh. But those are the people that we're training for. And great news for those of you that contract colon cancer over 50, less people are dying with colon cancer over 50. Why? Because more people are dying under 50. They're not making it to 50. Now, only the house of Yahweh catches these things. When you see it in the news, you think, what a miraculous thing they're doing. And they tell you the first symptom you have, you need to come to the doctor. And of course, something, this is, pastor's been bringing this out for years, and now there's child actors that are standing up and talking about this. Pastor's talked about how disgusting Hollywood is, the Catholic Church being behind it, the pedophilia being behind it. Well, they're actually standing up and talking about the massive amount of pedophilia taking place where these children are taken advantage of, and now these children are starting to speak out now that they're adults. But of course, this agency is greater than they are, but it's falling apart. They don't like what they've endured. Now you see these people that were done a certain way, well, they're speaking against it, and it's slowly coming apart. And then we close with, of course, Israel and Palestine rejecting this peace agreement that was made in France. Remember who governed that peace agreement? That was governed by the Quartet, the EU representative, Federica Mogherini. She's the one that was directing that. And Israel's going more toward the Arab Peace Initiative. And remember, that was first drawn up in 2002 and then reformed again in 2007. But watch very closely, because the Israelis are saying that these agreements fail. And of course they fail. There's no foundation. There's no peace without the peaceful solution. But pay close attention, because where the world stands back in awe, the house of Yahweh can see how things are falling apart. If we could go ahead and please play the news. I would like to introduce the only man with the answers to peace on this world in these last days, the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Hey, there you go. There you go. We got you on camera, everyone. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. The more time I can get in now, the less time I'll hold you this afternoon. So I do want to speak to you this afternoon some before you leave the house of Yahweh to go back to your separate homes. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I think most of these were shown. I think Eliyah showed most of these. This is a group of elite preachers here around the world that is big in religion. They met with the Pope for 1 hour. They're getting it worked out, I guess, who they want to kill first. Seems like the Islamic people they're wanting to kill because they're against the gay movement. And of course, that's studies reveal drug-resistant super bacteria in Rio Olympics water. That I don't know why that's such a big deal. If they'd check it here in Texas, they'll find the same things. But they're making a big deal out of this to try to get the Olympics moved. Orlando nightclub shooting. He read that one to you. And they're blaming that on the Islamics too. They have a way with propaganda, as Malachi Martin said. We got up to in Scripture yesterday. We were getting up to, of course, Genesis 3:1, where it talks about the house of the gods. And that's exactly what that's called, the house of the gods. And this is what Cain worshipped. Cain was a pope for the house of the gods. The house of the gods is calling themselves today Roman Catholic Church. Before that, they were called Coptic Catholic, meaning Egyptian Catholic. And during their travels, that Yahweh kept them in the wilderness until he could get Yeshua born and sacrificed for everyone. They were calling themselves the elders of Israel, the house of Jacob, the sons of Jacob, and then Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. But they're all one, and Yeshua says, "Know them by their fruits." We're bringing forth the fruits of righteousness, the house is. The same thing that Abel brought. Abel was the house of Yahweh, as you know that. That's been established loud and clear by every scholar that his name is Yahweh. And Abel brought forth, he was a righteous man, which means he practiced the righteous laws of Yahweh, taught those laws. And, of course, he was murdered by the beastly system that's sitting on the seven hills of Rome. Now, if you know them by their fruits, you'll see that Cain was the first pope. The first pope. And of course, they call him the mouth. That's what Daniel called him. The beast is given a great mouth. Yisrael Hawkins says, "Great secrets of the Bible are now being revealed and exposes what Satan the devil never wants anyone to know." That started with 68,957 news medias running it. It's up to close to 200,000 now, I'm told. And we're at the top on Google, of course, and that's making the Pope very angry, too, or the Vatican very angry. Little do I care, but that 218,117. Pray for our refugees, not just in Tunisia, but all over the world. I'm going the wrong way here. That's a pretty big tent that the guys have there, and get a side view of it here. It's there it is right there. And that's not all of it either. Maybe need to get them here to start making tents, huh? Tent makers. Now, I'm not going to skip any of this, but what I want to do is take you to another pathway here, because you've got to understand all of this to understand what I just told you I was going to show you. And that is that Cain was the first pope. That's the way all the world is gone, the way of Cain. Now, yesterday we covered we got down to Revelations 10:9, tells the seventh messenger to eat the book. Now listen to me closely, because Yahweh says in Genesis 2, don't eat the book. Remember Genesis 2, 16 and 17. He said, don't eat. But he tells us to eat this. That is the tree of life, the book of the tree of life, the book of Yahweh, the tree of life. Genesis 2:16 and 17, he commands you. He said he commanded the man. Well, he didn't just command the man, don't eat the book. He gave him 10 commandments. He gave him 613 laws. That's how he commanded the man. Then don't eat anything except life, else you're going to die. In Genesis 3, in verse 1, I wanted to read you what the true scholars of the world, these elite people that see in the Pope, they're not scholars. They probably don't know even as much as the Pope, and the Pope is scripturally stupid. He's illiterate when it comes to the knowing the book of Yahweh. There's certain things that he's given to say, which leads people of the world to believe that he knows the scriptures, but he doesn't. And of course, he's never studied the scriptures, is the reason. He studied certain things in psychology, and that's what the Catholic Church teaches, you know, how to win friends and influence enemies, and that's about the end of it, too. But the true scholars, I feel sorry for some of them, because, you know, they know the Hebrew language. They know the Greek language, which Greeks are, they're just top Hebrews in education. Not much difference at all, except in a different form of education. But these scholars that really know what these words mean and put it out to where we actually know it, and without having to be raised in the Hebrew language, they say, you can't argue with us. We are the supreme leaders in this language. So they know what they know that they understand the Hebrew language. But they say, this is what they say, the serpent was more subtle. We have here one of the most difficult as well as the most important narratives in the whole book of Yahweh. The last chapter ended with a short but striking account of the perfection and felicity of the first human beings. And this opens with, then the second opens with an account of their transgressions, degradation, and ruin. that man is in a fallen state, the history of the world, with that of the life and miseries of every human being, establishes by what agency? It establishes beyond successful contradiction. But how and by what agency was this brought about? Here is a great mystery. And I may appeal to all persons who have read the various comments that have been written on the Mosaic account, whether they have ever yet been satisfied on this subject, though convinced of the fact itself. Who was the serpent? Of what kind? In what way did he seduce the first happy pair? These are questions which remain yet to be answered. Now, this is what they admit that they know, and we're going to get back to this. But, of course, we've got work out now already that these people could read. One of the first ones is revealing and unveiling Lucifer, her true personality is revealed. And, of course, this is the inspirer. She's not the agent. You know, the agency that led Cain is the same agency, and you've got to get this deeper in your mind. Now listen to me closely. The way the King James Version presents Cain and Abel, you would think they were two young men that's out throwing rocks at each other and horsing around, and Cain killed Abel. That's not true. They had about 600 years to multiply, you know, and before they wiped themselves out, and the flood was not caused by Yahweh. It was caused by man. We're having some of this flooding right now because of the same reason, and that is the sins of the people that were getting into the firmament and getting the firmament to where it wouldn't work. And of course, the flood started coming. Yahweh did not have a means by which at that time to keep them not coming. He allowed this to take place for a reason. But he showed how quickly the earth can be destroyed by mankind. He showed before that how quickly the earth could be destroyed by the sons of the gods in heaven, who invaded the earth, who trespassed on the earth, who created dinosaurs and every imaginable fighting fleshly machine that you could find. These were done not by human beings. Those things were wiped out. They wiped out themselves. And then Yahweh took the earth back, and there's groups that know that there was two creations, you know. They think that, but they haven't got it straight yet. If they would just listen closely, it's all explained in the Holy Scripture. It's also explained in some archaeology, and there's fields of that. You know, you can get the book on the flood, which is nothing but archaeology, and it shows the flood and how deep the water got and where it flowed to first and so forth, how it moved the earth in certain directions. This has been really deeply studied. There's no use in me going into that. You could get that book. I think there's several, but all of them use the same background to write them with. But yes, the earth was destroyed before the flood. It was destroyed by the heavenly beings that Yahweh has also said, I'm setting you as an example for heaven and earth to see and how to stop it. And of course, what he promised in Genesis, the first chapter, 1:26, and he created the earth, 1:26 says, I will make man in my image. Right? Remember that. Now, the very next thing he said, before that he said he made all of this other stuff for man. For man. All of this other stuff. Talking about the creeping things. The creeping things, microorganisms that actually control what man helps man. It helps man to achieve what Yahweh brought forth in Yahshua. It helps man to achieve Genesis 1:26. To be made in man in Yahweh's image and likeness. That's what all of these kingdoms in the earth and in the firmament were made for. And he shows that before he ever shows Genesis 1:26, this is how I'm going to make man. Well, of course, if you'll just think about it, the earth opens its mouth and swallows someone. Yes, because the earth itself is helping mankind to achieve a certain thing. Now, before that, the earth supported mankind, but it kept getting weaker and weaker as sins grew. And we see the agent that brought those forth was the agent that was backing Cain. Cain was merely the mouth. In Daniel 7, the fourth beast, I would know about this fourth beast, Daniel said. And he said he was given a mouth, speaking great things, given a pope, a spokesman, a mouthpiece. That spokesman, the scholars know, the fourth beast is the Holy Roman Empire, called the Holy Roman Empire. Well, Daniel shows that this mouth, this fourth beast, would be against Yahweh. What does he show you in Genesis, the fourth chapter, about Cain? Know them by their fruits. Cain was against Yahweh and Abel. Abel was the mouthpiece of the house of Yahweh. In chapter 3, Cain was the mouthpiece of the house of the gods, bringing forth the way of the gods. Now, the microorganisms that was created to help man achieve 1:26, Genesis 1:26, being made in the likeness and image of Yahweh. He needed help, of course. He needed air to breathe. He needed a mind that would think clearly. He needed proper food for his mind to think clearly. That's what Abel chose, to bring forth those things. And the offerings that he brought was not grain offerings or cow offered or lamb. No, it was human beings. And the offerings that he brought to Yahweh were acceptable to be used in the work of bringing forth 1:26. Genesis 1:26. To make man in the image and likeness of Yahweh. The offerings that Cain brought forth was, it's plainly shown there, and we'll see this all in detail later. But the offerings that Cain brought forth was anger, frustration, hatred. What do you see in the Catholic Church today that's wanting to depopulate the earth today? Yahweh is going to allow them to do it. Before the flood that wiped out everyone except Noah and his family, before that flood, the sins were great. The earth was filled with what? It wasn't peace, remember? The earth was filled with violence and hatred. Every sin that they could commit was being committed. The sins that are destroying bringing forth the droughts, bringing forth the hatred and misery that we're seeing, that the scholars admit to. They admit to this. The misery, there's no argument, they say. The misery is here. We've brought it on ourselves. But they know an agency was behind this whole thing. They just don't know how to put it together. Well, the same thing that makes up the rainfall today and lets it fall, former and latter rains gently on the earth to feed the plants that have unpoisoned microbes that you eat to nourish your body, those were healthy microbes. The things that they were doing to these microbes, they not only did it to ruin the soil, and Yahweh said, the earth itself now is cursing you. The curses you see coming forth to you, giving you this anger, why do you think you're angry, Cain? What you have done, Cain, what you're doing here, you're causing the microbial kingdoms to curse you. They can't work for you. So you're suffering the curse because these microbes can't do their job. The microbes weren't picking up swords and going to war against Cain. They were actually working to try to preserve the earth, preserve the atmosphere Yahweh made. But mankind, in his will to do evil, follow after the gods, the evil gods. There is no righteous gods that I know of. All the gods followed Satan. A god is somebody who picks themselves up above and tries to stomp their neighbor down. And that's about 10 words that describe the gods totally. And that's what destroyed the earth when Yahweh first created it. Beings in heaven that Yahweh has now put a witness here in front of here in earth and saying, I'm going to bring forth a kingdom and I'm going to show you, prove through them what sin brings, and they're going to teach the universe to stop the misery that's spread throughout the universe. Well, the misery that they recognize, that the scholars recognize here right now, this extreme misery, this was written several years ago, and they're worse now than they were then, but they recognized it, and they said there's no contradicting it, it's here, it's all over the world. Extreme misery that doesn't have to be. And they know there's an agent behind it. Now, some of them knew who it was and wanted to hide it because they didn't want to suffer the persecution that went with it. Because the Catholic Church has always been like Cain and her agents. And, of course, the inspirer has always been to inspire them to do evil, to try to kill off Yahweh's people, kill off the microbes that feed Yahweh's people, that support mankind. Well, for the first 400 years there, before the flood, before this, mankind's thoughts was only evil continually. And from those evil thoughts, being inspired now, you've got to remember there's an inspiration that comes from Satan to inspire man to follow the gods, to follow after the gods. Cain was the mouthpiece, but there's an inspiration coming to Cain to teach it. And he taught this, and he brought forth many people. Yes, they multiplied. They didn't name every person on earth. They gave names to certain ones, and they said he had other sons and daughters. But those other sons and daughters were not involved in Yahweh's plan, so they weren't named. But there's much of this, and the earth was vastly populated, and the sins were reaching into the heavens just like they're reaching into the heavens now. The water started flowing flowing in the rivers. The flood started coming, and people would look at it, and there was drought here and floods there, and they said, oh, well, it'll straighten itself out. It always has. And that's the same thing they're thinking now. But we're seeing it now. The same thing that, if you can imagine, Cain and Abel seeing back then. And Cain was preaching evil, and Abel was preaching righteousness. So there was a struggle going on. And of course, when Cain killed Abel, he thought he had killed off the last one. But it went on, and his work went on. And of course, Noah was a righteous man. He saw Abel's work. He was a righteous man, and he had three sons. And from those three sons, Yahweh sees Egypt, which was the house of the gods what was the name of that god? I told you I'd give it to you. This comes from the Oxford Companion to the Bible. The name Egypt is an English rendering of the Greek name Aguptos. Aguptos. I'll spell it for you. Aiguptos. Which in turn is a translation of the Egyptian Hutput, and that's Hwt-Ptah, meaning house of Put. House of Put, which was probably one of the first gods, not all the gods, but he was listed among the creating gods, creation gods, that by the Egyptians. House of Put. Well, this was the Egyptians themselves named their country Kema, meaning the black land. So here you have the house of the gods that was taught by Cain, that actually came to as part of the sins, came into Ham, which was the son of Noah. First son of Noah, in fact. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Okay, now the earth now, if you can imagine the earth, and it was well populated by that time. Those people lived 900 years, and they had babies, one a year. And those babies grew up and started multiplying, and they had one a year or so forth. And the earth populated fast. Well, so did sin. So did STDs. STDs, as we know now, or even our own scientists admit what we're saying is true, that the STDs are floating in our atmosphere, in the firmament. And they are crossbreeding, they're raping the microorganisms that produce the raindrops and that govern the rain falling on the earth. Now, when these microorganisms get sick, they can't do their job, so the right amount of rain or the right spread of rain throughout the earth turns to a quick drop of rain, a huge bunch of rain in a certain place, like Austin, Houston, who is suffering from it. I couldn't believe here how Abilene was protected so much here in the last few weeks. And just to the east of us in Texas, it was getting washed away. And now the governor has declared Texas a disaster, asking for government help because of the damage that this has done to the state of Texas. Well, this is what occurs with sin. So we're seeing what Cain was bringing forth at that time and what Abel was witnessing and preaching against. And their confrontations between them was much like it is today with the house of Yahweh saying to the Roman Catholic Church and to all religions, what you're doing is bringing forth the heavens that is bringing forth. It's bringing forth the heavens that is bringing forth drought. As you saw, people think the drought was over because we had floods. You know, no, the drought's not over. The famine is not over. It's worse than ever. The wars are not over. They're growing. They're going to turn to nuclear wars, which will, the Pope thinks, the Vatican thinks, will actually solve their problems. There's no doubt that Cain was praying to the gods to protect his people at the same time that Noah was building an ark to protect a certain seed that would bring forth Yahshua. Looking forward, he did this work. He was a preacher of righteousness. That's what the scripture says. We're still reading his work that he did back then, 6,000 years ago at this time. Well, what we see now is a very condensed part, but it's here a little and there a little. So you've got to watch and see what Yahweh says and take what he says. Don't add to it. It's easy to see that Cain was the first pope. He was a God worshiper, the worshiper of gods. That's what the pope, that's what this agency that pushes forth the mouth, which is Francis at this time. The agency that was pushing forth Cain was the same agency that is pushing forth, that is the same God worshipers. Know them by their fruit. They're bringing forth. Cain brought forth wars and fighting, continual wars and fighting. What do we see now on the news? Continual wars and fighting. They have no answers to this. When the earth and atmosphere was built up enough to flood the earth, it did. Yahweh knew this was going to take place. Yahweh didn't cause it. Yahweh warned them. Abel was warning them. What you're doing, what your sins is doing, is going to bring a flood. And they laughed at him, just like they're laughing at the house of Yahweh. Oh, Israel Talkins in Abilene, Texas says that all this flooding and the drought is being caused by sex. Well, ha ha ha. They won't be laughing too much longer. No. That's a way of poking fun at the information we brought about the real cause of global warming. Caused by sex. Well, of course, the comedians had a heyday, and the talk shows, they laughed about it, but they didn't know, but they did spread some information that caused people who heard this to actually get the book and read it and contact the house of Yahweh. Yes, some of them are here today, cheering as I say this. Well, of course, every little bit of information helps, whether it comes from someone who wants to poke fun or what. It doesn't make any difference. It's poking fun against Abel. Abel went ahead building his ark. He got the animals in there that we're still using today. And, of course, we've poisoned them up a bit, poisoned the earth up a bit, but From Noah, the righteous preacher, Yahweh kind of held down sin by getting the message, Abel's message out, which brought forth Samuel's writing and Isaiah, Ezekiel, Yukiska, Zechariah, all of these writers brought forth their writings, here a little and there a little. And then 400 years before Yahshua, he cut it off. And the righteous disappeared. He let them have their way, but you could tell from Yochanan now, when Yochanan came speaking, telling this is prophecy being fulfilled, you could tell the word was there because the king knew it and they wanted to know who this man was, where this baby was going to be born, and so forth. So they knew the prophecies. By word of mouth, it came on down and it was plaguing their kingdom that they had set up, that they had taken from the first kingdom of Yahweh, which the house King Solomon built on Mount Zion. And then when Yahshua came preaching then and healing all these people, the king says, well, that's Yochanan. He's been resurrected and I killed him. I killed him because he was telling me I was sinning. Well, so that we know that their words from the prophets came down, even though they were shut up about 400 years before that and not allowed to bring forth this message or they'd be killed. They were killing them off then as well and accusing them of everything under the sun and bringing them to court. And, of course, the Roman army, if you remember that in Acts, that's revealed to you there. Shaul was one of them, and he was bringing men, women, and children. That was the practice of the roving army that actually started about 150 years before Daniel. And then Daniel prophesied that this is going to be a really strong, wicked, evil army that's going to crush, have iron teeth, brass, brazen. Well, all of that is mentioned in other scriptures. We'll see as we continue in this. I didn't get anywhere today, but I lined you up for this evening. what I did. There's no way I could cover this in this feast, but we will get it covered. I'm going to try to stay with this until I get it covered this time totally. I've mentioned it before. The question where Samuel said to the king, you've got to go and kill these people. Well, that was a direct order from Yahweh, right? We'll read it again, and I'll try this afternoon to show you that one's easy. Some of the others are not. Some of the others that you see where the King James Version said, well, Yahweh was angry. Yahweh was jealous. His anger rose and he wiped out all these people. Not so. Yahweh is calm and collected. He's very joyous right now. He sees his plan coming. I thought this was really great where he showed us that he is in full control of the horse called the Creator that won. And before he won, the one called the Branch won. You know, that couldn't have just happened, you know. It shows that Yahweh is showing us that a million years ago or 10 million years ago, when you were in his plans and he planned on calling you here and he planned on showing you this day, that through two horses, one called the Creator, the other one called the Branch. And it just occurs here at Pentecost. and a few months ago, before this now, is when Yahweh, I told you that I was worried, deeply concerned about the sickness and disease and people suffering in the house. He let me know by a dream that he was in full control. I haven't worried about it since. Maybe a little. I'm always able to put it behind me and get to work after that dream because I know that Yahweh is in full control of his people. He's taking care of you, and he's going to take care of you. He'll see you through this whole thing if you'll just let him. And we'll stand before Yahweh with the colors that Yeshua now wears. We do too. If you noticed in that picture today, I kept telling you about that picture, that it had the sash coming up across my chest, but we never had shown it. Well, I think it got lost, but I saw it. It was shown to me. And then today, after Yahweh showed us another picture of the same thing, this is the second picture that he showed, that rainbow coming up across my chest. The other one had an 81 in it. Somehow or another, we lost it. So Yahweh gave us another one. And that one was shown today. He wants you to get it. That's the reason he's showing you them. Well, that's what Yahshua qualified for. That's what we're wearing. And we may be falling a little bit short now, but we're trying, right? Well, Yahshua is telling us there through Yochanan. He says, if you're practicing righteous, then Yahweh considers you as righteous. And he can take it from there and bring you on to perfection, Yahweh said. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the service over to the next speaker. Don't forget the afternoon meal. Don't forget the noon meal. And then after the noon meal, we'll have the cleanup, and then we'll take a short break, and then I want to speak to you again before you leave here, and that'll be about, I think, about 5:30. 5:30, okay, 5 to 5:30, somewhere along in there. We'll call you. Don't be too far. May Yahweh bless you. I love you.